Well, I'm going to say something tonight I'm sure none of you have ever figured out. And if you never figured it out and you've read tonight's gospel or if you heard it read and you still hadn't figured it out, you're even thicker than I am. The disciples didn't get it. They served with Jesus for 3 years and they didn't get it. They didn't understand who they were. They didn't understand who they were selected to walk among. They had a great 3-year run, I think. They got to see miracle after miracle. I mean, can you imagine seeing? They had to work hard. Their duty of feeding the 5,000, they had to distribute. But can you imagine seeing Christ multiplying a few fishes? They had to be a really turn on. But they didn't get who he was. And then all of a sudden on the road towards Jerusalem, he started changing his attitude. He started talking about death. They truly, I don't believe, got it. Peter obviously didn't get it. How many times have we been in a predicament in our life? And the Word of God came to us through another or through our own prayer. And we didn't get it. We're so limited in our understanding of the power that's residue in the name of Jesus. We're so quick to discount what it means that it says, when it says in the scripture that if we but believe, whatever we ask, believing that we receive, we will have. Just because when we ask, it doesn't happen instantaneously, we doubt. How long did Abraham wait? Oh, wait a minute. He didn't believe either. That's why we have such conflict in the Middle East. Because Ishmael happened. So it's not just us. We don't understand. We get impatient with waiting. The scripture tonight says, now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew his hour was coming. He knew the time was drawing near. The disciples didn't get it. We can look back and we can say, what dunderheads? But guys, we don't get it sometimes. We grow impatient with waiting. These were the selection. They had already decided probably among themselves what kingdoms they were going to rule. They had already decided this was the King of Kings. This was the guy that was going to overthrow Rome. This was the conqueror coming to set it right. They never saw him as suffering Savior. They never saw him as actually dying. They didn't understand what he meant in destroying the temple and rebuilding it. They didn't even notice when he cried over Jerusalem on his trip on that fateful day where everybody was hollering, Hosanna. And he stopped and wept over the city. They didn't get it. Let's put us in mind in those times in our lack of faith where we didn't get it. And yet Christ honored us in spite of it. What we need to grasp in this Easter season, it's the goodness of God. He doesn't treat us as we deserve to be treated. In our failures, He doesn't go, kick you to the curb, dare you not to believe, as we treat each other. How many times have we kicked our friends, quote, to the curb because they disappointed us? They didn't live up to our expectation of what we thought they should do. The disciples who had walked for 3 years, we're about to enter a time where their faith was to be tested. Now we know the story. We know the day of crucifixion. Only one was found there. And yet, on the day of resurrection, all but two were in the room. Doubting Thomas, who came later, and Judas, who had hung himself. What we need to know is although they didn't get it, they were there and they changed the world. What we need to understand on this day, when Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only Son of the living God, who came off of His throne and made Himself man, when He knelt before them and washed their feet, when the CEO, the President, and the Chamber of the Board came down and knelt and washed man's feet, they begin to learn. And they did what Jesus is asking us to do. Do as I did. And they changed the world. See, our lesson for today is forget what we haven't done. Forget where we've fallen short. Look at our model. Humble ourselves before the Lord our Maker and serve one another, not in arrogance, but in heartfelt repentance, because that's what Christ has done for us. He loved us when we were full of sin, when we were full of pride, when we were full of arrogance, when we were so dumb we didn't know we were dumb. He loved us. It's not a country club membership. He didn't require us to go change and put on our Sunday best. And yet some of us in some churches require people to dress certain ways and to have certain memberships before they can enter. I'm glad we're not that way, but there are those. The word says in the first verse of chapter 13, He loved them to the end, to the fullest extent, without reason, without excuse, without rationale. He loved them. He knelt before them Tonight we're going to have an opportunity, and we're going to begin with the priest, and I'm going to give an invitation. We're going to kneel one before the other, and we're going to be a service to each other. And the priest, who should be the chief servant of this congregation, are going to wash y'all's feet. We have the greatest servants in this congregation, and that was proved Saturday a week ago when the men turned out to a household here of a couple who really doesn't come very often to this congregation because physically they can't. They really are physically inhibited from traveling. Medical problems out the gazoo. And the men showed up and busted their backside. It was a gift of love, of servanthood. The women showed up and gave a party to someone who was in distress. You guys give to a mouse fund to help each other, and we've been able to prevent people from being evicted. Y'all are servants. You got it. And I hope in the next year we can expand those roles to doing other things. We understand in a limited way. Christ, who had no reason to serve, did the dirtiest job in a household in his time. It was a job that was assigned to a servant, a non-Jewish servant in a household. Because in that day there wasn't plumbing in the street, plumbing in the house. And everything rolled out into the street and rolled down the street, and you either walked barefooted or you walked with sandals. And so with all the animal dung in the street, plus human dung, plus whatever, you stepped in a lot of poop. So when you got to a house as a guest, there was someone to wash your feet. And that was not given to any Jewish member. That was given to a servant who was a non-Jew to wash the feet. That's what Christ did. When they got there to have dinner, no one was there to wash their feet. So they went through dinner with dirty feet. But Christ girded up his loins, became the lowest of the low. That's our role, guys, as servants. And we should never get tired of that. Then he said to his disciples, "You say that I am your teacher and Lord, and I say to you, for so I am. If then I am your Lord and teacher and have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's." One of the last commandments of our Lord is to be a servant. Be transparent in our love one for another. Give out of your need. Give out of your substance. Give out of your love to those who are less fortunate. That's the message of tonight. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.